by means of well-publicized acts of philanthropy. Richard Jewell was known for his sponsorship of orphanages and schools for the handicapped, while the recently opened Jewell Wing of the Hospital of the Holy Family was in the vanguard of the fight against tuberculosis. These and other initiatives should have made Dick Jewell a hero in a city beset by poverty and chronic ill health. But now that he was dead, many among the citizenry declared themselves ready to dance on his grave. His corpse was discovered that Sunday afternoon in his office above the stables at Brooklands, the place in County Kildare jointly owned by him and his wife. Maguire, the yard manager, had come up by the outside stairs to give him a report of a stallion that was lame and unlikely to run the following Thursday in an evening fixture at Leopardstown. The door to the office was ajar, but Maguire had known better than to walk in without knocking. Right away, though, he had the feeling that something was seriously amiss. When asked later to describe this feeling, he could not. Only the hair, he said, had stood up on the back of his neck, and he distinctly remembered hearing blue lightning sending up a whinny in the quiet below in the yard. Blue Lightning was Dick Jewell's darling, a three-year-old with the highest potential. The shotgun blast had lifted Jewell out of his chair and flung him backwards at a crooked angle across the desk, where he lay with a bit of jawbone and a few teeth and a bloodied stump of spine, all that was left of what had been his head, dangling down on the far side. On the big picture window in front of the desk, there was a great splatter of blood and brains, like a giant peony blossom, with a gaping hole in the middle of it, giving a view of rolling grasslands stretching off to the horizon. Maguire at first could hardly take in what had happened. It looked as if the man had shot himself, but Diamond Dick Jewell was the last person Maguire or anyone else would have expected to blow his own head off. Rumours and speculation started up at once. It added to the shock of the event that it had taken place on a drowsy Sunday afternoon in summer, while the beaches along the drive at Brooklands sweltered in the sun and the mingled smell of hay and horses lay heavy on the summer air. Not that many were privy to the details of what had happened. Who knew better than the Jewels how to hush up a scandal? And a suicide in these days, in this place, was a very grave scandal indeed. In the Clarion offices on Eden Quay, the atmosphere was a combination of pandemonium and wondering disbelief. The staff, from copy boys to editorial, felt as if they were moving underwater, or through a medium heavier and more hindering than water. And yet, at the same time, everything seemed to be racing along like a river in spate, and carrying all before it. The editor, Harry Clancy, had come in from Port Marnock, where a caddy had been sent on a bicycle to intercept him at the 12th hole. And he was still in golfing gear, the studs in his shoes rattling out a tattoo on the lino, as he marched back and forth in front of his desk, dictating a eulogy which his secretary, the no longer young and faintly moustached Miss Summers, was taking down in longhand on a pad of copy paper.
"Should have been struck down in the prime of life,"
Clancy was intoning, "by a cerebral hemorrhage." He broke off and looked at Miss Summers, who had stopped writing and sat motionless with her pencil suspended over the sheaf of paper on her knee.
"What's the matter?"
Miss Summers seemed not to have heard him, and began writing again. "In the prime of life," she murmured, scoring the words laboriously into the cheap grey paper.
"What am I supposed to say?"
Clancy demanded.
"That the boss blew his brains out?"
"By a cerebral hemorrhage."
All right, cut that."
Clancy had been pleased with himself for having hit on such an acceptable-sounding cause of death. It had been a kind of hemorrhage, had it not? There was bound to have been plenty of blood, anyway, seeing it was a shotgun Jewell had used on himself. The Clarion would not say it was suicide, nor would any of its rivals. Suicides never got reported in the press. It was an unspoken convention, to spare the feelings of the relatives and make sure the insurance companies would not seize on it as an excuse to renege.